We should have seen it coming, Jordan. It all started on Friday night. Syracuse knocking down UNLV, the undefeated running Rebs, which was a great game on Friday night. I ended up turning it on after the Duck game finished up and catching the last little part of that.
Could you believe people were already saying they could compete in the CFP? Like, it's what, week four, week five in college football, and they're like, oh, UNLV, sneaky good.
I'm trying to think as far as, like group of five, like right now, Boise State's probably looking like the team, but in due time, we'll find out.
Janty, what, 13 carries in the first half alone and three touchdowns? They didn't even need to play him the second half against Utah State.
I am praying that he just keeps running roughshod on the rest of their schedule and puts up crazy yards every single game, because while I know he got taken out at halftime against the Vikings, I still think it would be the Portland State Vikings. I think it would be hilarious that his lowest rushing total of the season would be against the Portland State Vikings. If you look at his game log,
yeah,
like that'd be so great. Gets through all 12 games, and it was like, oh, wow, what was his lowest running total? It was against the Portland State Vikings. What the hell?
Varney Ball, baby.
Just locking him down.
He's still there, right?
They took him out at halftime because he was scared, all right?
Yeah, those small walk-on players for football teams definitely always scare Ashton Chant.
Hey, blow the horn, okay? And I think Bill Barnum is still there. I have no reason why they would be looking for someone else. But the first upset of the day, it happens at Kyle Field in College Station. Texas A&M just absolutely beating the brakes off Missouri. And Connor Weigman, who is going through a personality crisis, he ends up leading his Texas A&M Aggies to just a dominant victory over Missouri, 41-10. So that is your first upset of the day. Missouri, by the way, also earlier in the season, they had a tough little contest against, and it was actually 2 weeks ago, because I think they had the bye week last week. But they had a tough two overtime game against Vanderbilt. So they avoided a loss just 2 weeks ago. And then they end up getting their first loss of the season, Texas A&M. So Vanderbilt, I mean, they took them to the brink. And that's foreshadowing right there. Because this Vanderbilt team, people thought, oh, maybe they're better than we anticipate. But Missouri was the first one to go down in college football yesterday. Then I believe as far as order of operations go, as far as upsets and the timing of everything, I believe the next upset was Vanderbilt over Alabama. I think that was right. How the timeline went yesterday was Vandy taking down Alabama 40-35.
Maybe Tennessee finished up before Alabama and Arkansas,
but
I
think
I'm not
it was
sure.
After.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. It was like right around the same time. Yeah.
Yes. Maybe like an hour or something like after the Vanderbilt Alabama game, but I'm pretty sure that is how that went down. But Vanderbilt getting their first win against a number one ranked opponent in school history. I believe they were also 0-60 against top five teams in their school's history.
And they've never beaten Alabama or very rarely beaten Alabama.
So. The last time they did beat Alabama, Kalen DeBoer was 10 years old.
There you go. He still has a job this morning, by the way, because I started to see some of the message boards already on Twitter last night, or X or whatever. And oh my God. Well, what was the one that I think was my favorite? Like, I don't want to hear a press conference post game. I don't want to hear an apology. I want to see somebody fired. Like, what does that do for your program, you idiot?
We'll see how they respond, because I believe I think it's next week they play Tennessee. I could be wrong on that, but they don't play Tennessee next.
South Carolina, then, yeah, the Cox, and then Tennessee.
Okay, gotcha. So there's a Gamecocks buffer in between the 2 weeks there.
9 a.m. Oh, gosh, those early morning kickoffs for SEC teams here on the West Coast, like, we could bitch about that, but we don't. We just get up and watch.
I mean, that's what, noon for them? I believe they're not, I don't think Alabama's Central Time, so.
No, I can't stay up until midnight watching a game.
By the way, it has been announced, it was already kind of known, and we'll get into this game later, but the Oregon-Ohio State game will be at 4:30 next Saturday.
And College Game Day, to be
again,
on the way.
We'll get into it.
Oh, baby.
Yeah. We had Vanderbilt beat Alabama. And Alabama had some chances late in that game. I mean, at the end of halftime, it was 23-14. They come out of halftime right away, and they score 23-21. Vanderbilt was able to then you score again in the third quarter, going up 30-21. And then Alabama answered back, Ryan Williams with a sick touchdown grab where it looked like he was going to go out of bounds at some point, whether that was running the route or after he caught the ball. But no, he just absolutely tightroped the entire sideline. Again, just showing why all of us were complete losers at the age of 17, and we could have been a we could have been an absolute star receiver at Alabama, right?
That, oh yeah, yeah, 17 years old. Yeah,
he's doing it. Kid. We could have done it, right?
He looks like he's 25 out there. His body just is already doing things that you just dream of doing when you're like in the backyard as a kid, man.
Just unreal. So Alabama, and I want to say, yeah. So before Alabama got that touchdown to go down 33-28. Vanderbilt converted a 4th-and-1 play where they just took a deep shot. Like, all you need is 1 yard. F it. We're going deep. And they scored on a 36-yard touchdown pass on 4th-and-1.
Oh, that over just, the top. Yeah,
yeah, that just beautiful. Set that place off. That's how they got that 30-21 lead. Alabama scores 30-28. Vandy kicks a field goal. So then they're up 33-28. And this is kind of where you're feeling like, oh, no, like Vanderbilt, like you're letting Alabama back in this game. You're giving them a chance. Then they go and sack Jalen Milroe, force the fumble on the next drive, get the ball back, and then they score to go up 40-28. And then you're like, okay, this definitely has potential.
Yeah.
This has potential to happen. And sure enough, Vanderbilt, they give up one more touchdown, but then they just run the ball. Run the clock out. They're able to kneel out the clock and end up sealing off the win against Alabama. Like, just shocking. I mean, Vanderbilt beating Alabama, that is something that, again, I don't feel like. I mean, if Caleb Warrior was 10 the last time that happened, like, how many years ago was that? Like, I don't know if I've.
He's in his 50s. So, yeah, probably.
That's something I don't think 80s. We've ever witnessed at our young age. Vanderbilt beating Alabama, just, and that is the upset that I was looking for. Like, after last week, I was like, we're still waiting for one of these, like one of these earth-shaking upsets, and that was it yesterday.
Well, a really cool way for it to go down too, because the SEC is, you know, the up in the front trenches, like run the ball really hard type of conference, and Vanderbilt did not allow Alabama to run the ball. It was relentless pursuit to all of their ball carriers yesterday, and they just contained every time that Alabama was trying to get outside the tackles. It just didn't seem like they were able to. I think they were held to like under 90 yards rushing or something like that by Vanderbilt, which is just crazy to me. Jalen Milroe still had a really good game. He's still in the Heisman conversation. I'm not sure it's really his fault that they lost yesterday, but wow. I mean, yeah, credit. I think you had to have a perfect game if you're Vanderbilt. It's just kind of one of those, like, opportunity meeting fate, so to speak, and you just had the day of days. And your coach, what a ballsy call on 4th-and-1. Nobody does that to throw over the top. I'm trying to remember the last time in a very pivotal game or in any just throwaway game where 4th-and-1, you just all of a sudden decide to try to deke your opponent and go over the top and go for 6. That, like, great teams don't do that. That takes balls.
Well, it definitely looked like, if you go back and watch that play, Diego Favia, I believe is the quarterback's name for Vanderbilt, goes through his progressions, and then I think he's like, I'm going for this guy. Like, I definitely.
So that was on Favia, yeah.
I don't think that was, like, intentional as far as, like, that's my first read is to try and hit this guy over the top. And he did, and they scored, and it was an absolute baller play. And 1984 was the last time Vanderbilt beat Alabama. So this is definitely something that I, at the, again, the old age of 32, have never witnessed in my lifetime, is Vanderbilt beating Alabama. Unreal.
Yeah. Pick 6, too, by Vandy. I mean, that was Jalen Milroe's only interception, but those are kind of usually the plays. It's either like a special teams touchdown or an interception for 6 points that you usually see in huge upsets like this. And, of course, yeah, Vandy literally played as perfect of a game as you could ask for, I think.
The next upset that happened, and Jordan, I have to ask if we have the audio set up.
We've got it, baby. We've got it.
Not the referee call.
Yeah.
The other one.
Oh, we got it.
Okay, fire it off.
Come on, pig. Piggy. Come on, piggy. See?
The hell?
That's pig suey, baby. That's a pig call for your ass.
Yeah, it is. I think I like yours better. Guy's voice cracked in the middle of his anyways. It's like, clear your throat and then do the pig call, you idiot.
That clip is clip of like a, I don't know if it was like a news segment or something, and I don't know if it was in Arkansas or what state it was at.
Was this a competition?
A pig calling contest, yes.
Stop it.
There's a full, I watched the full thing last night. 4.5 minutes of people just getting up on stage and just... just doing the calls.
Hey, you know, I won the gold medal in pig calling pig suey. Want to go out on a date Friday night? Like, what the hell are we living in?
I think I just need the isolated piggy.
Yeah, piggy. Come here, piggy.
Come here, piggy. Because Arkansas, boy, those pigs, they were there in droves. They win 19-14 against Tennessee. Just another shocking upset. I mean, Arkansas is better than Vanderbilt, I would say. We do not get that matchup this year, so we will. Time will tell. But they almost beat Texas A&M last week. They had a great game against Oklahoma State earlier in the year, where that went back and forth. That went into overtime, and then they take on Tennessee and they just lock them down, holding one of the best offenses in the country, Tennessee, to just 14 points. That was the most shocking part. Is if you've seen Tennessee this year at all, they've been putting up points.
Yeah, I am one of the best offenses. You say his name?
Yeah, I'm going to butcher it. Amaleva.
Amaleva, thank you. Yeah.
Again, that probably was wrong, but I mean, holding them to 158 yards, the last play of the game too, just inexcusable not for him to be able to just throw something up. He got rushed out to the right and then just ended up getting pushed out of bounds. And it's just like, dude, you got to give yourselves at least a chance.
Well, here. I think he's only a freshman. So that's like, you're not going to see Bo Nix or maybe even Dylan Gabriel make that play, but you're going to see a young kid make that play. That's just what happens. Like Marcus Mariota, his first year starting for Oregon, would have made that play probably. Just no experience yet.
It was 3-0 at halftime. So just classic SEC matchup, just Tennessee punt downs in the first half. So doing absolutely nothing. In the second half, they did score right away twice. They were up 14-3 in this game at one point.
Yeah, so Dylan Sampson is he not in the Heisman conversation, but dang, that kid's good.
So at 14-3, you think that, okay, Tennessee's going to start rolling here soon. And then Arkansas strikes back. They score, make it 14-10. And then this is the rest of the game for Tennessee after they score those two touchdowns in the second half. Punt, 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 downs. Unreal. Love it. Just absolutely love it.
I guess the winning isn't the only option. You can lose the game and you can play to lose the game, I guess. Because the punting in the NFL, people don't realize, or in the NFL and college football, at least in the NFL, it happens, I think, 40-some% of the time, which you think of like baseball as a failure sport. You don't think of the NFL as a failure sport, but literally, drive after drive after drive. Just disappointed to see Tennessee just not even get to attempt a shot. Good Lord.
So you have right there, that's all SEC action. Number 9, Missouri falling. You have number 1, Alabama falling. And number 4, Tennessee falling, all getting upset. So that covers the SEC slate from yesterday of absolute chaos.